1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, where we confuse Whitney Houston for Matthew Perry, but it's understandable, isn't it? Anyway, Whitney Houston's not in drug rehab. I don't know why I said that other than the fact that I can't read. It's Matthew Perry who is. Whitney Houston had a drug hearing postponed. A hearing in the drug case against singer Whitney Houston has been postponed. A hearing which had been planned next Friday is now scheduled for March 8th. Prosecutors asked the judge to set aside a plea agreement of misdemeanor drug charges that Houston failed to blah, 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 blah. Houston's bag, which allegedly contained less than half an ounce of marijuana and three partially smoked marijuana cigarettes, was seized at the Keyhole Kona International Airport. What kind of a name is that? In January 2000, Houston was not arrested. Prosecutors say she abandoned the bag and boarded a flight. Yada, yada, yada. So that wasn't Whitney Houston at all. She had some dope in her bag, allegedly. Now, actor Matthew Perry, one of the mainstay stars of the NBC series Friends, has entered an undisclosed rehabilitation facility on the advice of his doctors. His every intention of completing his treatment so they can continue his dream of entertaining people and making them laugh, said his publicist. Good for you, dude. I hope you're successful. I mean, seriously, you know, do it, clean up, go back to work, don't do the stuff again. Understand? That's how it's supposed to work. You go, you do, you get out, you work, you stay clean. Yes, I know it's exciting. Yes, I know you're invited to parties. Yes, I know you're young, wealthy, Hollywood, chicks, anything you want. You can't drink. It's the worst thing of the world. The worst possible thing to tell a young guy, hey, man, now that you're really famous, and now that you have all this bread, and now that you got a pad with a swimming pool that overlooks L.A., and now that every eligible chick, every beautiful bachelorette in L.A. is beating your door down, no, you may not have a drink. No, you may not have a beer. No, you may not have a... nothing. And when you're standing around your beautiful, brand-new outdoor barbecue, cooking for 300 of your friends, as they wait in your brand-new, jacuzzi or whatever the hell it is that you got, man, and they walk the grounds with the flamingos and all that crap that you got, guess what? While they're pulling Heinekens out of the refrigerator under the bar near your barbecue in the cabana area, you don't get one. Doesn't that suck? Doesn't that sound like hell? That's the definition of hell, isn't it? I know I'm going to get on with our guest here in just a moment. We're going to be talking about a very unfortunate incident in Santa Barbara. We're going to be making fun of a guy killing people in Santa Barbara. But in just a moment, no, I'm kidding. We'll be talking. But I'm just thinking, isn't that the definition of living hell on earth? You're a guy like what's his name? Morton Downey? No, I know. Robert Downey or Matthew Perry, these cats. Young, good-looking, talented as hell, making all kinds of change. Big time. Every woman in L. You know, I mean, whatever you want. Going to a club, you go to the Sky Bar, you go to a place, you know, they're all there, they recognize you, they're buying you everything you want, cigars and stuff, and oh yeah, you don't get to have a beer. You're 31, 32 years old, you're in the prime of your career, and you're not allowed to slug one back with your buddies? That is the definition of living. If I was born into a life like that, I'd kill myself. If at the beginning of my life, the good Lord said, Phil, yes, God, you're going to be able to do all of these things, but you can't have a beer. Can I have sex? Well, okay, that's fine. You can have a beer, just not 14 beers, and then drive Mulholland really fast. Well, if you want. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. It's the Phil Henry Show. Austin, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Phil.
Thank you for bearing with us. Austin Amarca is joining us to talk about what happened in Santa Barbara. Authorities are investigating whether a college freshman intentionally drove his car into a crowd of people near the school, killing four, wounding another. Really bizarre, strange, sad, sick, twisted story. Saturday, an 18-year-old student at the University of California, Santa Barbara, scheduled to be arraigned Tuesday in Santa Barbara it was Friday. And what he did, basically, was drive into crowds of people. Isn't that right? Because I can't find it in this story. You guys didn't highlight this for me.
Well, Phil, I've got some of the information.
Go ahead.
This young man, and I don't want to comment directly on what he did, but this guy apparently, allegedly, was... driving a car up on the sidewalks and hitting people. He sideswiped 9 parked cars. He struck 5 people walking along the street. apparently witnesses told police the car sped down a crowded street in Isla Vista, and that was on Friday night.
Friday night, that's it.
And apparently sideswiped all these cars. But I don't want to, that's alleged. I don't know, and I don't want to, if you don't mind, comment on that case directly.
Well, you don't have to comment on that case directly, but you're saying that that this is a traceable syndrome?
Well, I will tell you, I know that many young people are into auto racing, and a lot of them see a lot of NASCAR races on television. Now, God rest his soul, I used to be a Dale Earnhardt fan, and I used to be a NASCAR fan. And what I do today is I counsel young people on driving safely.
Well, what do they have to do with each other?
I think that a lot of these kids are NASCAR fans, and they suddenly feel like they want to do a little door banging.
And wait a minute. You're talking about a nut. If this, what is alleged happened, this guy, some nut sideswiping cars, running people down on sidewalks, what's that got to do with door banging on NASCAR?
What I'll tell you, the next thing, what this kid did in Santa Barbara, it's possible he was trying to emulate one of his favorite drivers. And this is the thing about NASCAR. It is so addictive. It is so exciting. It's so wonderful to see the great drivers like Rusty Wallace, Dale Earnhardt. I mean, Dale, you won't see him anymore, but you will see,
Well, all right, so it's great to see the great drivers.
It's great to see the great drivers door banging and what they call rubbing, just a little bit of rubbing. And I think that I can tell you this right now that having been a NASCAR enthusiast, I did a little dirt track driving myself. When you get behind the wheel of 450 inches of pure power, the only thing you see is a checkered flag. That's all you see, and this is a very real delusional state. Every NASCAR fan has come out of the track after a race. You get in your car, you just want to stand on it. You want to door bang. But when you're young and impressionable and you can't help yourself, but yet you're being influenced by it. So this guy... I don't want to comment on that. Okay.
All right, so some guy drives down a street and runs into people.
It's possible.
It's possible he was watching a NASCAR race.
I believe so.
Well, let me ask you something. NASCAR, that's going around in a circle, okay? What is a guy sideswiping cars? And
what I told you, Phil, what happens is if you're a fan of NASCAR, suddenly you just see the checkered flag. You want to stand on it. A lot of times you'll be going down the street. You see people. You imagine they're your pit crew. I mean,
this sounds like insanity, if what you're talking about is. Did this happen to you?
I saw it, and for me it was 1991. Yes, sir.
You had an incident.
Yes, I did. I had come back from the Ontario Speedway, where they had had a NASCAR race, a Winston Cup Series race. I pulled into my driveway, but I never hit the brakes. And a very dear friend of ours, Don Teal, was returning a grease gun that he'd borrowed, and I saw Don, and I love him like a brother, but I floored it.
And you floored it even so you saw a friend of yours standing in the...
Yes, sir, because I felt I could see the checkered flag. I had the whole NASCAR thing, and the car went through the back wall of my garage.
What happened to the guy?
I'm sorry?
What happened to your friend?
I don't know. There's a restraining order. I can't talk to him, and I blame NASCAR. And
what happened to him after you hit him?
Well, fortunately... my two youngest kids have one of these rubber bounce houses, and that absorbed most of the velocity.
So the guy sailed through the back of your garage after you hit him into a bounce house?
Into one of our kids' bounce houses, yes, sir. But I blame NASCAR the same way I blame Jackass, the same way I blame that Tom Green, the same...
But this specs of that whole, here we go again. Television is to blame...
No, but sir, this is a real thing. You see these guys going 200 miles an hour, door banging and rubbing, and man, all you want to do is get in your car and go, man, go. You want to go, 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 and you don't care who's in front of you. And I think the kid suddenly just jumped out of the car and thought, but I'm Neil Bonnet.
It's an inexplicable thing if that's the case. That NASCAR would influence somebody to drive down the street and run people over.
Well, I think that that is part of the problem. Yes, sir.
All right, hold on. Austin Amarca, former NASCAR fan. Now he counsels young people on driving safely after he went to a NASCAR race and then drove his car right into his garage and knocked one of his dear friends through the back wall of his garage, and almost killed him. This guy in Santa Barbara who ran into these people this past weekend did so after perhaps drinking. I don't know. Maybe he was nuts. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that he would have done this after having seen a Winston Cup race and decide to go fast down a crowded street. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Austin Amarca has joined us. This is the Phil Hendry Show. So, Austin, you there?
I'm right here, Phil.
Okay, so this kid who ran into these people in Santa Barbara...
Again, I can't comment directly. All I'm saying is it's possible, and I think it's very likely, that when you see somebody driving down the street that recklessly, they might have been to a NASCAR race. They might have been...
Well, I mean, it's like that Jackass thing. So they watched a TV show, and the TV show had violence on it. And...
Well, in this case, it's possibly true, because anything can trigger it. You get behind the wheel of a car, you've seen these guys going fast, you see them doing a little door bumping, you see some rubbing, some slamming. You see a woman walk down the street in a checkered dress. That can trigger that, because you get behind the wheel of the car and suddenly you want to go fast and you don't care. And a lot of these people are influenced by all these stuff. You know, some NASCAR drivers have the reputation that if a guy is standing out there on the track, they'll run him over. Well, a lot of these people think they're out on the track, running people over on the track.
Jesus, I mean, is everything in this society have to do with something people watch on television? Isn't there just somebody with an organic brain problem? And
I think people are born decent, and I think people are born good. I think they get twisted by things like television. And in this case, I think NASCAR has finally run its course. I think it's too fast. It's too weird. Guys are dying, dropping like flies. And now some nut watches the Goody's Headache Powder 500 and wants to go and grease some people out on the street.
Well, we don't know that that's the case. We don't know that that happened. And we're going to have to wait and see. 1-800-449-8686 with Austin Amarca. Did you say you used to drive?
I drove dirt tracks.
On dirt tracks. All right, here is Wayne on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? I just wanted to make a comment. This blaming NASCAR for all this stuff is ridiculous. I mean, you got to look at yourself. This whole country wants to always blame somebody else for something that happened.
Well, that's my point.
Well, but my point is, what are you going to do? You got some impressionable kid sitting in the stands. He sees some guy going 200 miles an hour.
I mean, a guy doing 200 miles an hour, I go to the NASCAR races. It's never affected me none.
You don't want to go out and go fast?
No, I don't.
Oh, come on.
I don't.
Well,
I don't. I drive a truck cross country. But I try to run the speed limit all the time.
But I don't get out here
because one guy passes me running 100 or 80. I don't try to catch up with it. Because it's just ridiculous and crazy.
What if he beats you to where you're going? I don't know where you drive to, but let's say the two of you are driving to Chicago. What if he gets there before you?
Well, if he does, he does. No big deal. I just have to wait for him to unload, or he has to wait for me, whichever.
And you're not humiliated by that.
Wait a minute. What? These guys aren't in a race.
Yeah, but it's humiliating for a guy to get beat by another guy.
What's humiliating about it? The guy's in a truck.
But I asked him, if he sees a guy sail by at 100 miles an hour, you don't want to catch up to him?
No, I do not, because I got better sense than do something stupid like that. I mean, it's just ridiculous for me to kill myself just because somebody drove by me run 100 miles an hour. It's just ridiculous.
You don't feel bad about it?
No, I don't. Feel bad at all. I feel bad for him because he ought to have a little bit more sense of common decency.
What difference?
Respect for himself.
So the guy beats him there. He beats him there. Big deal.
I had a brother who used to drive a truck, and they had to institutionalize him.
Why?
Because he was depressed, every time somebody beat him someplace.
Well, so what? There's always going to be a... Well, you know about it, Wayne, don't you? There's always going to be a guy beating you somewhere.
That's right.
My brother-in-law.
We had a Pullman time for delivery set up, you know, and, you know, two trucks coming in at 7 o'clock. Whoever gets there, well, you know, he gets there, gets unloaded. The other guy has to wait. No big deal.
I want to ask you a question here, Austin. The guy that you hit in your garage, this Don Teal.
Yes, sir.
There's a restraining order against you?
Yes.
Why?
After I hit him, they thought I was nuts. You know.
Well, you floor it going into your garage, and even though you see a very good friend of yours, you go ahead and hit him.
Because I had the NASCAR illness. That's what I'm saying. They did it.
All right, Wayne.
No, NASCAR didn't do it.
Well, NASCAR made me ill, and they made me hit Don Teal. Thank God my kids had the bounce house up.
Jesus. All right, Wayne, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. LaRue on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this guy that I know, he's just trying to play NASCAR for everything, you know? I mean, that guy didn't hit them people because of watching NASCAR. But, you know, he's just trying to find a cop-out for him, and that ain't right. I drive truck, too, you know? And if his brother was institutionalized to driving truck, well, that's his own problem. You know, we're not all like that. I see people driving crazy every day.
When you drive a truck and the other guy gets to the town before you do, don't you feel bad?
Do what now?
If you're driving your truck and you see some guy go past you and go to get to the town before, you think, hey, you're bummed out, eh?
The guy does. I'm on my cell phone, man, and I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, both, sir.
All right, hold on for a minute. Can you hear me, LaRue?
I can hear you.
All right. When a guy goes by you faster than you and gets to the town you're going to before you, don't you feel bad?
No, it don't bother me.
You're not depressed at all?
No, why would it bother me? I'm going to get there eventually.
Because
the place I'm going to is going to be there when I get there, and if it ain't there when I get there, well, I guess I'll deal with it then.
Well, LaRue, there's an old game we used to play as kids. I know you played it, too. Last one in the pool's a rotten egg. Remember that? Well, you're a rotten egg.
All right, LaRue, thank you for your call. He's having a hard time hearing us because he's on a car. What do you mean, last one in the pool's a rotten egg?
That's what kicks in. If you're last anywhere, especially truckers know this, when they see other trucks going by them and they're getting to the loading dock before they do, that old thing kicks in, something that goes back to when we were kids. Last one in the pool's a rotten egg. And you feel like a rotten egg. You're depressed and you feel low. And the same thing with NASCAR.
You've never been a truck driver, and you've driven dirt tracks, and I think you're making some very broad-based comments here about the sport and blaming a horrible, horrible situation on NASCAR. Thomas on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
It seems to me this gentleman has... There's a movie that came out in the 70s about people collecting points for injuring people. It seems this man...
Death Race 2000.
I'm sorry?
Death Race 2000.
Yeah, exactly. And it appears that you have some sick concept of doing this. You need help, brother, okay?
No,
you
sir,
need
I,
Jesus.
I don't want to hurt anybody. But when I used to watch stock car races, I would run people over in my garage. I don't do that anymore.
Now, what you need to go seek psychological help.
Hmm?
The man up in Santa Barbara, what the man did was wrong. He needs to accept responsibility for it.
Yes.
And saying that NASCAR has something to do with it, no.
Well,
no, it's just like saying people that listen to cop killers or whatever not and go out killing cops, they're doing it because of the media. The media has nothing to do with it. Silence, mister. I'm talking now.
Have you ever been to a NASCAR race?
Excuse me?
Have you ever been to a NASCAR race?
Been to one has nothing to do with it at all. It's all about responsibility.
They don't have
responsibility
any black
for your actions.
What do you mean they don't have any black folks at them?
They don't.
Bull crap.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Excuse me.
Yeah, Thomas.
When you get off...
Thomas, hold the line. Hold the line, Thomas. Hold
on.
We'll be right with you. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Austin DeMarco's with us from Lancaster, California. Now, Thomas, go ahead. Now, Austin, you said that this that black people don't go to NASCAR.
Well, not so you'd notice.
Well, there happen to be plenty of black fans of auto racing.
Well, I didn't know that.
Okay, you there, sir?
Oh, yes, I'm still here.
Go ahead.
I didn't know that. I don't see any of them.
Well, good. Fine.
Austin, you're walking through life with blinders on, baby. And number two, Austin, what makes you think, first of all, why would you make that comment, Austin?
What comment?
The comment about black people.
Well, you just don't see them at NASCAR races, that's all.
Okay.
Well, yes, you do. You go to Darlington, go to Charlotte. Down south especially, there's plenty of black fans.
I thought I was talking to this guy, not you.
Austin, my question is, what would make you make that particular comment when we're talking about NASCAR and talking about Santa Barbara and you?
Ain't you black?
Excuse me?
Ain't you black?
What does it have to do with right and wrong of it?
Well, I just felt that maybe I don't see black folks at NASCAR because, well, I don't know. But the whole thing is, I believe that, I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, you forgot what you... All right, Thomas, thanks for your call. Here is Doug on the Phil Hendry Show.
I know what I was going to say.
Hi there.
Go ahead, Doug. Hold on for a minute.
You're talking to is a fool of it. I can smell him over the radio, okay?
That's wrong.
What did you say? Look at Austin, you need to be quiet while a man's talking.
Well, that guy was wrong.
Go ahead, Doug.
Hi there. I just want to let you know that fella you're talking to there on the radio is so full of it, I can smell him over the radio.
The man told me that.
Hold on. You have to be quiet, Austin. Doug, start again. I'm sorry.
I said he's so full of it, I can smell him over the radio.
And the man told me.
Will you shut up? Doug, I apologize. I'm putting him on hold. Now say what you were going to say. Go ahead.
I said he's so full of it, I can smell him
over
the radio.
Yeah, we got it already.
Okay. All right.
Did you get that?
What was it again?
I said he's so full of it, I can smell him over the radio.
Was that, I'm so full of it, you can smell me over the radio?
That's what I said.
That's it, okay.
You said you raced dirt tracks.
Let me write that down.
If you did, all you was a goddamn handicap out there for the race driver.
Hey, I did some door banging.
I raced on dirt tracks for years.
I did some door banging and some fender slapping, my man.
Mister, I raced motorcycles on dirt tracks.
Oh, that's
my son raced motorcycles on road race.
That's motorcycles.
Road racers riding the same track on Daytona as the NASCAR people do, and they're going a whole lot faster.
Well, that's
and all
about
they got
stuff.
When they crash is their butts hanging out to dry.
Hey, buddy, I'm
and
on four wheels, not two. What? I'm on four wheels, not two, my man.
That's right. You got something around you.
I got something
just
around
Dale
me.
Did, and I tell you something else.
And I'll tell you what.
The
reason
they have all the crashes ain't because they're going too fast. They ain't going fast enough.
Well,
there ain't enough room between them.
Have you ever taken a motorcycle and driven it directly into a brick wall? No, you haven't. Right?
Mister, I have slid and I have hit walls.
No.
I went through a fence one
time. But you did that as an accident, didn't you?
And I also
drove
myself into the side of a car.
On purpose?
No, sir. The woman pulled out in front of my motorcycle.
All right. Well, here's my point. I drove right through the back wall of my garage on purpose. Now, tell me that don't take some balls.
I said it takes some lack of good common sense of thinking.
Wait a minute. You're telling me about all this stuff that you went into a wall. I went through the back of my garage intentionally.
This man is saying that he's been in a few accidents, okay? I think both you guys are off the point.
No, but he went into a wall.
NASCAR is not inherently unsafe.
Well,
NASCAR
it
is running the best race they can do. They're doing everything for safety.
Well, I know that.
Mr.
The kid saw that and wanted to go out and run somebody over.
Will
he did not die because of the excessive.
Look, what you guys are talking about and what you're talking about, Austin, is that the kid in Santa Barbara who ran into those people watched one too many NASCAR races.
Right.
Well, you don't know
that.
That
does not bleed down into the street.
Well, I don't know.
I watch a race and I drive the speed limit on my way home. I used to race and I drive the speed limit.
Well, let me ask you this, Doug. How come after I saw the Goody's Headache Powder 500 that I drove through the back of my garage?
Because you're probably mentally unstable.
Oh, now that hurts.
Well,
I'm not
it probably should.
I didn't say anything about you know, your. I didn't say nothing about your state of mind. And you went into a brick wall.
I never said I intentionally did something stupid.
Well, you said you drove into a woman's car.
She pulled out, and he hit her by mistake.
I pulled out in front of my Harley one day.
Well, what
I had no place to go. I was trapped.
What about this going into a brick wall thing? Is that on purpose?
I went through a brick wall. I went through a fence on a racetrack.
On purpose?
No, sir.
Oh, that was a mistake, too.
Yeah, you're the guy that
drove. I was racing.
You're the guy that drove through the back of your garage on purpose.
All right. Well, then you guys got me.
And when you're racing, you're riding on a ragged edge. And every now and then, when you're riding a ragged edge, it goes out and you
just
go down.
All right, Doug. Thank you very much for your.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you, buddy.
Thank you, Doug, for your call.
You're very.
1-800-449-8686.
Damn, he's not a very good racer, is he? First this guy goes into a woman's car, then he goes through a fence.
Yeah, you're the guy who on purpose drove through the back of your garage.
But I knew what I was doing.
So what?
Makes me better than him.
I don't know how you're figuring that, man. It makes you out of your mind. You've
characterized my mental ability now 3 times as being nuts. Where do you figure that? I was under the influence of NASCAR racing. I had seen it. It made me want to go out and do it. And
what do you mean you saw the Goody's Headache Powder 500 and you drove through the back of your garage?
That's what I did.
I happen to know that's in Bristol, Tennessee.
I came out of my house, got in my car, and did it.
Oh, man. Robert on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Well, you need to understand the dynamic, Mr. Henry.
About this gentleman here that drove through his garage here. The only way NASCAR can make somebody drive through their garage is if you have a weak mind.
Sir, you know the television
influence.
It affects people.
Oh, if it only affects people with a very weak mind.
So you let your kids watch anything on TV?
No, I don't let my kids watch anything on TV.
Well, do they
have
weak
minds? My kids know better, too. They turn off what they don't want to see.
Do they
have weak minds? To turn off things.
Do they have weak minds?
No, sir, because they turn off what they don't want to see. You apparently didn't have enough.
Well, what if they wanted
to turn off what was going to affect you and almost kill one of your best friends?
Robert, your name's Robert, right?
That is correct.
Now, I'm going to ask you, I don't know how old your children are, but let's say you got a 5-year-old son, and he flips on Bodacious Tatas starring Kitten Natividad.
Okay, an adult film.
An adult movie. And you come in and he's watching that. What you going to do? You're going to turn it off, ain't you?
Oh, sure, I'll turn it off.
All right.
But he would know better. He wouldn't even be watching that in the first place.
He wouldn't be watching Bodacious Tatas? Give me a break.
Oh, no, no. You apparently think everybody's at your weak level.
He's a 5-year-old, okay?
I'm a normal red-blooded man.
You're a man. He's a 5-year-old boy, okay? And I'm sure that the man has got some...
You guys won't give me this. You know what I'm talking about. NASCAR made me knock Don Teal into that bounce house.
Oh, NASCAR didn't do nothing to you.
Your
own inability to cope.
The fact
with
is that Don Teal took out a restraining order on you. You can't talk to him, and you're blaming NASCAR, okay? And I think that's really, really significant. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Ed on the Phil Henry Show. Hello, Ed.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Got 2 questions here since I've been listening. One of them is, when do you take accountability for your life?
That's a good question, Ed.
He's not asking me the question. He's asking you.
Oh. Accountability for my life?
Yeah, and your actions.
Every day that I get out of bed.
Okay, so if that's the case, I heard you make a comment to another caller that said, doesn't it take a lot of balls? I knew what I was doing. You willfully did that.
Well, the point is, that guy went through a fence.
No, it has nothing to do with that guy. You willfully stepped on the gas, went through the back of your garage.
Yeah, as I was told to by NASCAR.
No, NASCAR doesn't tell anybody to do that.
Well, come on.
That's the crazy part.
Have you ever been to a NASCAR race?
As a matter of fact, I have, but does that make a difference?
Yes, it does.
As far as your reaction, it makes no difference.
Well, I can tell you, a lot of times
is your responsibility, and you're accountable for it.
How am I accountable for that?
Because you willingly ran through the back wall of your garage. Now you're blaming NASCAR.
This guy's never been through a garage wall. He doesn't know.
Well, neither have I. What are you, nuts?
Hey, what are you laughing about? Have you ever driven your car through the garage door?
Have I?
Yeah.
I don't. I like to think that I'm a pretty rational person.
Well,
so
there you go.
No, I haven't.
Well, there you go. You don't know what you're talking about.
All right. You know something? We don't have to drive through a garage door to know that NASCAR doesn't influence people to drive down the street like crazy people, okay?
Well, I disagree. Well, I think you need to drive your car through two garage doors.
I think what you need is to be evaluated.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, let me guess. By a psychiatrist. Is that right?
Yeah, I would think that would be appropriate.
You sound just like both my ex-wives. How does that sound?
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, we got a ratings trend came out. I see Comb Over Boy continues to sink into the sunset. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. You don't have to believe me. That's fine. You go right ahead and believe everything you're told. And about this guy that drove into the crowd in Santa Barbara and the mob chased him down and, like, beat him up and bashed his brains in. You know, I don't like vigilante justice when it's 2 days after the fact. But right at that moment, it's pretty refreshing. It's like when Richard Ramirez, I don't know if you remember the serial murderer who was on the loose in Los Angeles in the mid-80s. And I remember when he was finally captured, it was like something out of an old Dragnet TV series. It was like a movie, because there were people on the air, on television in Los Angeles, and I think it was a Saturday that they finally caught this dirtbag. And there were, like, reports every 15 minutes. They were cutting in, and they were saying, and Richard Ramirez has now been spotted in the East Los Angeles area. Richard Ramirez is now on, he's in Boyle Heights now, and he's making a move. He's over near the Santa Ana Freeway. They were tracking him, and it was, you were following this. And finally, he gets into a neighborhood, and I think it was in East Los Angeles. Some woman's getting into her car. He slugs her, pregnant woman. The husband sees this from the house, runs out, takes chase on this Ramirez guy, as does everybody else in the block, and they finally caught up to this guy and beat the crap out of him. It was great. Now, am I a civilized man? Yes. I mean, do I want to live in a civilized world? Yes, I do. But occasionally, you're just going to have to give one for the team here. You're just going to have to allow us to have our emotions. It's not healthy. It's not right. I hope someday we evolve past that. But when it happens right in front of your eyes, people just don't have no Miranda right. You know, we're not trained at apprehension. It's like a crowbar and your foot, whatever's handy. Let's just get this guy. And they apparently kicked this clown, and he said he was the Avenger of Satan or some bullcrap. Who knows? Now, I had these people calling me, I went to UCSB. Hey, man, Isla Vista's a real party area. Well, you know, let me clue you in on something. Isla Vista's a real party area. Yeah, we got it. 1970, they burned the Bank of America to the ground. Okay? I mean, you know, you're like, you're 30 years too late, brother. We got it that they party on Isla Vista. They partied so freaking hard, somebody said, let's go burn the bank. They went over and burned the B of A to the ground. And as a result of that, B of A actually incorporated a dove of peace into their symbol, into their logo. I don't remember the old bird would fly into the Bank of America logo. That was a hand of friendship or whatever to the hippies, kind of a peace thing, because the hippies had burned their bank down. And they'd done it because apparently the students felt that B of A was holding the mortgage on all of their rental property on Isla Vista, that they thought they were being gouged. They thought the rent was gouging the students there. So one night they burned a freaking bank down. So, I understand. You know, this lady calls from Colorado.
And I used to go there. It's very party-hardy. What?
I dig it, man. They partied UCLA. Well, I guess the guy ran some people out on the sidewalk at UCLA, too, didn't he? When did that happen? You remember that? Hey, what is this? Is this an epidemic at college campuses? There was some guy one night in Westwood did that. You don't remember? Oh, is it before everybody's time here? Okay, is another Grandpa Phil story? It was like 1980 or 81. It must have been, and maybe later, some nutcase went down a sidewalk in Westwood. This only happens on the UC campuses, folks. UC Santa Barbara, UCLA, they just drive down sidewalks. Because the driver's ed program in California sucks. And by the way, my kid, he's going to high school. They got no driver's ed. So let's get that going, and I think we'll see a little bit less of this. Yeah, I get it. All we need to do is teach these kids how to make a left turn on a red. It's just common sense, Jimmy.
Well, I don't know. I was driving along, and then what happened? Well, I ran over some people. They got caught up in the drivetrain. I don't know what the hell. Well, you know, you need to go back to, have you taken the driver's handbook? No, I haven't. Okay, well, read that a few more times, and maybe you can figure it out. And that angel of death thing, man, what page is that on? Well, it's right under, you know, legal left turn, making a right turn into a bike lane.
Oh, I see. And then you jump out screaming, you're the angel of death.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Isla Vista, they party. You better freaking believe they party over there. I don't know. You know, it's probably just sort of modified down through the years. It's changed. It's gone from hippy-dippy. I mean, I was in a park near UCSB years ago. I was just out of high school, and the freaks were in this park, and, you know, it was one of these bands. You know, every weekend, some band would just set up in the park. There was a stage there, and they'd set up. Okay, ding, 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 ding. You know, the guy's tuning the guitar. Okay, testing 1, 2. Ah, ding, ding, ding. Hey, you want to shut up, man? Ding, ding, ding. Okay, here's a song that I wrote in jail. You know, that was it. In other words, it's no different today than it was then. You know, ding, 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 ding. I wrote this tune in jail, okay? Free Huey. Some guy walking through the crowd, you know, who's got LSD? Who's got dope? Some girl going, LSD isn't dope. Jeez. So there you go. That was really freaky and weird. And fortunately for me, I'm gone with that. That's in my past now, okay? So my, those are the days I don't want to even talk about. By the way, I almost beat some guy up in a bar the other night. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry, and let me tell you about it. No, I didn't really beat the guy. What happened was this. My wife, he asked my wife to dance. I came back from the can. My wife's dancing with this guy. So I went over to him, and I just cut in. And I said, what are you doing? She goes, he asked me to dance. I never say no to a guy who asks you to dance. I said, well, why not? You're married now, Maria. I know, but it's really cruel to ask a guy when he asks you to dance to say no. She comes from this orientation. Her mother taught her, never say no to a guy who asks you to dance because it's really hard for a man to ask a woman to dance. Okay, I can dig it. I go back to the can, and the Swede was there. I go back to the can, I go, the guy's out there again dancing with her. And now they're doing, he's got his hands on her hips. I said, is this guy back? He goes, yeah, he is. So I went over there, and then I start waving my wedding band in this guy's face. I push him out of the way, and then I realize, well, he doesn't give a crap whether I'm married to her or not. It's just that fact that I was bigger and fatter than him. Well, fatter. Phil Hendry Show.